Hi, I'm Molly Hayes. Welcome to another week of the Hamilton Spectator podcast. I am going to be your host this week, and I'm going to be talking to my colleague and deskmate, Nicole O'Reilly. So by the time you're listening to this, you will already have hopefully seen Saturday's paper and the big project that she has published today. But we are going to talk a bit about that and the work that went into it. So hello, Nicole.
Hello.
Hey, so also, listeners, we are doing this one by phone call, even though we sit across from each other in the newsroom. So this is just a reflection of work-life balance. So it gives me some background on this project. I mean, I've been watching you work on this for a while now, but what are people going to be reading about?
Yeah, so it's really interesting. I was given a really broad scope, kind of look at what's happening with marijuana in Hamilton. You know, we hear a lot, and rightly so, about fentanyl and opioids, but, you know, the landscape around what's happening with marijuana has been shifting so much because of the medical marijuana industry and because of the changes that are coming expected with legalization happening federally, and it's had a huge impact on the market in terms of businesses, patients, consumers.
Absolutely. So what is the landscape in Hamilton?
So in Hamilton, we have just around, it fluctuates depending on closures and openings, but we have about 20 dispensaries, which are those very inviting storefront operations. A lot of those claim to be or maybe make people think that they're legal because they sell to patients who have legal medical licenses, but the businesses themselves are in fact completely illegal and have been the subject of numerous police raids and are also currently in a bit of a fight with the city's bylaw department that are attempting to shut them down for operating without a business license, and that's because you cannot get a business license for a dispensary. We also have a few licensed producers, and those are the big farm like facilities that are licensed by Health Canada to basically grow Health Canada grade medical marijuana for patients.
Crazy. So, okay, so the dispensaries are illegal. A lot of people might not be aware of that. They might say they have totally legitimate reasons for using these or even for opening them. And I'm sure this is not a totally black and white issue, but is this kind of growing marijuana business a good thing or a bad thing, or can you really say one way or the other at this kind of weird gray area stage of the law?
You know, it is a lot of the owners themselves call it a gray area. And what's funny, I went to a rally in Hamilton where they were protesting the crackdown by the bylaw department last month. And, you know, I was sort of expecting a little bit of hostility showing up as media there, but I didn't find that at all. The people who operate these businesses are incredibly open and incredibly passionate about what they do. What they do is completely illegal, and they recognize that, but they're actually begging to be licensed. They want to be part of a legal system, and they feel very strongly that they're helping people, and they're helping people access medicine that they need, and that basically the expertise and the plants and everything that they use, that patients can't find it elsewhere, even though there is this legalized system through the licensed producers. Licensed producers, though, you can only purchase through them online, and there's a lot of restrictions. And patients often complain about not being able to find the right type of product that they need, or when by the time they find the right one that they like, it may be sold out. And there's also, it's more expensive.
Okay, for sure. And it sounds like, I mean, based on my conversations with you, I'm by no means an expert in this area, but it sounds like even when there are police raids and things, it's not the customers or the patients or whatever the correct term is for those people. It's not them that are the target of this. Am I right? Is it more kind of on the business side of things?
That's right, yeah. Yeah. Police, I spoke with the Hamilton Police Vice and Drug Unit, and they say that basically when they're responding to dispensaries, they're going there because of complaints. Most of their complaints come in anonymously or through Crime Stoppers. And when they get there, they're not concerned about the patients there. They will not arrest them, even though technically they're not supposed to be buying from these dispensaries. And they've also said they won't charge the employees who work there, who are often called bud tenders, but they're basically only after the owners. And so far, that's who we've seen only ever charged in Hamilton.
Okay, interesting. One of the things I know that you had mentioned to me, and I'm not sure if this has made it into the project, but we were talking about kind of how this has potentially changed like the criminal landscape. Has there been any change, like whether in Hamilton or provincially or nationally, in terms of kind of busts around marijuana grow-ops since we've kind of seen this shift, I guess?
Yeah, so basically there aren't any street-level marijuana exclusive drug dealers that exist anymore, except maybe outside of high schools. And police, it's been years since police have had a big grow up that they busted. The dispensaries that I spoke with, most of them bring their product in by courier service, and a lot of them are bringing it in from out west, from BC. So they're just, you're not seeing those. You know, years ago, police used to invite us out to the big press conferences where they would stand before a table with, you know, all this marijuana that they seized. Or we've even been out to, like, farmers' fields where they were hauling in all this, all these plants. And that just doesn't happen anymore here in Hamilton because of the influence of this this industry.
That's so interesting. So those kind of, like, half-legitimization. Was there any specific characters that you met that you were surprised by, or was there any kind of like a surprising thing you learned about marijuana that you didn't know before getting into this project?
You know, I would say the most surprising thing to me was how open and how open the owners of the dispensaries are. You know, they're illegal operations and they're totally opening themselves up to liability. But, you know, like, everybody gives me their name, their phone number. Everybody wants to talk about it. No one's afraid. You know, I spoke with owners who voluntarily went into the police station to have a conversation with police, even knowing that this may open them up to liability to have the police come into their store later. The people I talked to have, you know, raid protocols in place, and they're trying. They are, again, completely illegal, but they're really hoping to change that, and they really want to be part of the conversation. The other thing that I found surprising was that when I started looking more into the license providers, who they have no crossover with the dispensaries other than they're vying for the same patients, basically. But what's interesting, what I found interesting in that is that a lot of the people behind the license providers, they're not anybody who has any background experience with marijuana. The one license provider that I went to and toured, you know, they have like a PhD candidate with a history in working for food greenhouses who's running their operation, their greenhouse operation. And the people running the management side of things are people with extensive business experience, people who come to it from, you know, the corporate finance background, not a background anything to do with marijuana.
That's so interesting. So why, okay, so from dispensary point of view then, why is it so important for them to be on the ground right now? Like, if it is still illegal and they're taking this huge risk criminally, and I mean, imagine financially, like, what is it that they're hoping to accomplish, I guess, before it is potentially legalized?
Yeah, and I ask that question a lot of everyone that I met, and all of them feel passionately about the service that they're providing to patients. But beyond that, they think that it's really important that they're a part of the conversation now, that they stand up and speak, because there's concern that whatever we do see, you know, the Prime Minister has said that we're going to see legislation for the recreational market this summer. It'll likely take a lot more time before we see it actually implemented or in effect. But what they're concerned about is that they're basically going to be left out of that process, that if they allow sort of big business and maybe big pharmaceutical companies influence, or the license providers, like I said, the people backing the license providers are big, the license producers are big business kind of people. But if you allow that to take place, well, then what's going to happen to, you know, your grassroots advocate who's really passionate about growing marijuana and has gained experience and knowledge around different types of products? And what's going to happen to the people running the dispensaries who are really passionate about it? They feel like they're going to be completely left out of that process, and that that basically in doing so, there will still be a lot of advocates said is if they're not included in the process because so many people are very particular about products and experiences, but there basically will still be a black market is the concern.
Interesting. And is that because the clients or the patients are going to want that kind of mom and pop shop approach?
Yeah. People are very particular about the strains of marijuana that they like, that work for them, about having a really sort of organic feel about it. You know, there's been companies that are looking at developing like pills and things. And a lot of patients I spoke to say they don't want that like pharmaceutical feel to it. They want it to feel very organic and natural. And people are very brand loyal and very loyal to particular growers who've developed products over sort of years and years of growing and perfecting what they're doing, albeit completely illegally.
Yeah. So do we know then what the future of this industry looks like? Like, have they given any indication about what this will look like, or is it kind of just speculation still at this point?
So there was a task force that was created to look at safety recommendations and other heavy recommendations around marijuana, and they came out, their report was published at the end of last year, and there's over 80 recommendations in there. A lot of them deal with, public health, advertising, not allowing marijuana to be, not allowing children to access marijuana, but they do talk about a little bit about what they'd like to see, and the recommendation is that Health Canada or the federal government will continue to oversee the medical side of things, and that basically the provinces will be allowed to handle the wholesale of recreational marijuana. And they said it very clearly that they don't want like an LCBO structure. They don't want to see alcohol and marijuana mixed, and they would like to see storefronts. But who gets to man those storefronts, and whether the dispensaries or people, again, on that sort of grassroots level will be involved at all is not clear at all.
Interesting. So it's not going to be up to the city at all. It's all going to be done from a provincial or federal level.
Yes. Yes. Now, there will be some municipal, I'm sure there will be some municipal involvement, but exactly how that's going to play out is not clear.
And do we have a timeline? I mean, I know they said summer in some capacity, but I feel like we've been hearing that this is coming for so long. Do you feel like this is imminent? Do the dispensary owners feel like this is imminent? How long are we looking at here?
You know, like I said, they've said that they're going to tell us what this legislation is by the summer, but most insiders are saying, you know, it's probably going to be maybe 2019 before we actually see it operationally happening. But that's just speculation at this point. Beyond the looking to see what the legislation is going to look like, we don't know.
Awesome. Very cool. Well, thank you for sharing a bit about that. I can't wait to read it.
Well, thank you very much.